All right, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to pray before I do. God, thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives and everything you've done for us, God. And I just pray that we would just remember that and, God, have some time now just to focus on that, God. And, God, that you would just speak to us through your word, God. And God, you would just use me for your purpose and your glory. And, God, that all of us would just be able to hear what you have to say tonight and nothing else, God. And God, I thank you that we are here together. God, I thank you that we can come here and we are free to do that, God, and that's such a privilege. And I pray that we would understand the privilege that it is to come into your house and to worship you, God, and to seek your face and to not have fear or not have anything like that, God, but just be able to do that. And that's so incredible, God, and we thank you for it and just pray that you would use this time now, God, for your purpose. Amen. Awesome. All right. I guess tonight I have a word that I'm a bit excited about, and so I hope that it comes out okay. And now that I've said that, like, if it doesn't come out good, then you're going to be really disappointed, but that's all right. You know, I say this probably every time I speak, but God has a huge plan for every single one of our lives, and God has a huge plan for this year and beyond this year for each and every one of us to do something incredible according to his purpose. And like, we're going to build a building, we're going to start ministries, we're going to do all sorts of stuff. We're going to reach our friends and our families, we're going to go overseas, we're going to send people overseas, we're going to do heaps and heaps of stuff, and this is only the beginning. And I was thinking this morning as Dad was speaking, which was an amazing message, and I'm disappointed that we don't video Sunday mornings, because I don't think the audio is quite going to capture the magnificence that was on stage this morning. If you missed it, you have to just talk to Dad later. Maybe bring him a tissue. But I was thinking this morning just how this is just the beginning, and like, a lot of energy and focus will rightly so go into our new building and how exciting that is. But, you know, the job isn't finished when we build a building and we get the keys and we walk in the door. Like that can be a big achievement, and I think the temptation could be to go, all right, we're done now, we can sit back because we've made this big achievement. But that is just the beginning. It is just scratching the surface. And like, I am not interested in building a great building that then we do nothing else in my life. You know, I'm 26 in a couple of weeks, and if being part of building a good building this year is the last thing that I do, then that's lame. Because, you know, Caleb, as Dad was saying this morning, he was like 80 before he kind of took the land that he was promised. And so I'm hoping that between now and the time I'm 80, I'll take plenty of promised land. So, well, we're going to keep pushing and we're going to keep going. But tonight, I want to talk about strength. And I want to talk about having strength, not just to start the race, but to continue on and to finish the race. And Adrian kind of stole some of my thunder in his encouraging word, but that's okay because it was really, really good. But not just starting the job, but seeing it through all the way to the end. And like, the sort of faith that Caleb had where he would just not give in. And I can't imagine waiting 40 years for something that God had promised me. And like, I can't. I'm not that old to even think that concept of how long that feels like. But for him to never give up and never doubt and to have faith while everybody of his generation died around him, and to just continue seeking God, and then to say finally after 40 years and go, I'm ready now. And I'm still ready, and I'm still strong, and I can still do it, and I'm here ready to go. And man, that is so incredible, yeah? And so I've just been praying a lot lately for me and for all of us that we would just have strength to live out what we're called to do, because like, the things that God has called us to do is so huge, and it requires strength. Now, I think it was Mitch yesterday was talking about the Ironman World Championship, was that? Yeah. And I was blown away by it, and I have some... It's not Iron Man like on the Nutri-Grain box. This is like Super Iron Man. And what it is like a giant triathlon world championship where the fittest people in the world do this thing. And it's a 4-kilometer swim, 180-kilometer ride, and then a 42-kilometer run all in one day. So I figured it out. That's 80 laps at the swimming pool, I think. Then you ride a stage of the Tour de France. Then you run a full marathon, all in the same day. That's ridiculous. Anyone else with me in saying that that event is just insane and the level of fitness required is absurd, and I hope that I never get close to that? Like, that's just, I don't know, if you're putting yourself through that willingly, there's something going on. And I don't know, but that's great that people can do it and crazy. But, you know, I was thinking about that and how, like, our lives are long and they require strength. And in Hebrews 12, it says that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You know, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I just want to read a bit of this. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of her faith, or our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I just thought that was interesting that in this, in Hebrews, it says, like, think about Jesus and what he did. And then in my life and in our lives and in our sin, we haven't resisted yet to that point. And, like, the intimation is that we may have to yet resist to that point. And it goes on and it talks about how, like, we are God's children and God disciplines his children and how we should take that as, like, a good thing, because it builds things up into us. And then it says down in verse 12, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And it's so important for us to understand that we need strength for our life. And that's not just so that I can barely make it to the end of my life and go, well, I finally made it. But it's so that others may not be disabled, that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. It's not just about me. It's not just about you, but it's about the people around us, that when we live a life of faith and of strength, they will be built up. They will be healed. Yeah. And so hopefully your life will not be as hard as the Super Ironman World Challenge Championship. But, you know, there are challenges in our life that come up, and our lives are long, and we need strength if we're going to go all the way to the end. So tonight, I just want to talk a bit about how we live in strength. And I heard a few things that I've just felt like God has shown me in the Bible, and I don't know if I'm going to get through half of it, but we'll see what happens. Is that good? Everybody with me tonight? Good, good. I think the first thing that we need to understand is that our strength comes from God. And this is what Adrian was saying before, but, like, the first step to living in strength is to remove the idea that I have anything to do with it. And that the strength that I live in is anything to do with me. It's like, you know, in the first Matrix, Morpheus says that bit, you know, when they're in the dojo and they're fighting and Neo is learning Kung Fu or whatever. And Morpheus says, do you believe that my being stronger or faster has anything to do with my muscles in this place? And I really like that, because it's the same in this place. And me being faster or stronger has nothing to do with my muscles or my brain or anything like that. What it has to do with is the strength of God that's in me. And that's it. And I can't get up here and speak in my strength. That's useless. But it's the strength of God in me. And we can't do the things that God has called us to do in our own strength. We will always, always fail. But if we do them in the strength of God, we will never fail. Amen? So I think we need to get to this place, like Neo realizes in the Matrix, that it's not about our muscles. It's not about anything to do with us, but it has to come from God. I know that's not quite what's in the Matrix, but you can read the subtext if you did English for your HSC. I'm sure you can find something in there to explain that. Now, we live in a really self-reliant culture. And I think, like, you know, everybody wants to do things for themselves and get their own way. And like, some of that's good, but some of that's really harmful. And I think to the point that a lot of people think that when they get to heaven, they'll be right. And when they get to heaven, that they'll just be able to work it out. And that somehow we can do well enough in our own effort and in our own strength that when we get to the end of our life, we will be okay. And it's easy to fall in this trap. But I was reading in Daniel, and in Daniel 10, and I don't know if you've read much of Daniel, but, you know, the first half of Daniel is, like, about his life, you know, and about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about the lion's den, and it's really kind of easy to read and a really interesting story. And then the second half of Daniel is this crazy prophecy that's really hard to understand. And that's kind of Daniel. But I don't know, I was just reading in Daniel 10, and Daniel 10 is the start of this vision and this prophecy, and it's where Daniel meets Jesus. And it's quite an incredible thing. And I was thinking about how here is Daniel. I'm trying to just set it up a little bit. Daniel is a guy that has faithfully served God and loved God and done the right things and just built his life in faith and in strength and done all this good stuff. And then he gets to this point where he meets with Jesus. And it's in Daniel 10. And I'm going to read just bits and a chunk. And so if you've got your Bible there, then you can open up to Daniel 10 and read it with me. It says, "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." That's the Daniel fast. It says, "On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of a great river, the Tigris. I looked up there, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, which is like a precious stone. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude." I'll just soak that in for a minute and get that picture. Like, that's crazy. It says, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves." These other guys didn't even see this guy, Jesus, and they were still freaked out and ran away. Okay, I'll get there. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. And a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And he said this to me, I stood up trembling. He says, I'm just going to read the whole thing. He says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So God is saying to Daniel, I'm going to tell you this vision of what's going to happen. And this is in verse 15. "While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe.'" And I just am amazed that Daniel, who is a good guy and faithfully served God, when he comes before Jesus, he is helpless and destroyed and weak, and he can't even breathe and he can't even speak, and all of his strength is gone. And we have this society where people think that, like, they're so strong in themselves, and even as Christians, we can think that we are so strong in ourselves. But here's Daniel, who was a strong guy. And when he comes to face with Jesus, he's lost. And he loses all of his strength, and he is totally humbled and totally wrecked. Yeah, and everything is gone. And we need to understand that in no way is our strength anything in front of God. Like, God is not just a nice idea up in the clouds, old guy, telling us to do stuff, yeah? God is glory, and he is majesty, and he is power, and nothing compares to him, amen? And there is no way we can come before him on our own and expect to survive, let alone talk to him or get any, like, get our way in any, I don't know why. Sometimes, like, I do it, we all do it, try and get our way with God. when we realize that like his face is lightning. Come on. We need to understand that that's God, yeah? And that our strength, not like the strongest person, is nothing when faced with God. Are you with me? I know that's encouraging, but you're here because the rest of it, this is the exciting part. It says, again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. The incredible thing about God is not just how powerful he is and how strong he is, but that he comes to us and he gives us strength. And he doesn't just smite us with his power, which he has every right to do, but he comes and he touches us and says, here is some strength. And then Daniel can stand and say, okay, now God, speak to me because you have given me strength. And Daniel is given strength to do the things that God has called him to do. And that's the same for us. God is for you and he strengthens you. Amen? So while there's nothing you can do on your own, God is for you. God is with you and he brings strength. Amen? I think we need to get a hold of this. If we want to live in strength, if you want to survive the distance, if you want to thrive, because God has blessing and he wants to bless you. He wants you not just to survive life, but have an incredible life. And because of that, he touches us and he breathes on us and he brings his strength. And that's so incredible. Yeah, amen. I'm excited about this. I don't know if anybody else is kind of quite, you know, have you getting that? I was really blown away because yet again, and I encourage you to read your Bible because, you know, you read things that you've read before and God just speaks to you in a new way. And I've read Daniel a bunch of times. And God just speaks to you in a new way. And don't miss out on that by not reading your Bible. In John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, God's intention and his purpose is that we would be blessed and that we would bear much fruit as we remain in him. And as we are connected to him and as we are with him, as we are strengthened by him continually, like being attached in the vine just means that there's this continual like re-energizing and strengthening and stuff coming up. And you know, when we're in there, we'll realize that God's strength is the only thing that can sustain us. But with God's strength, nothing can stop us. And that's so amazing, yeah? And with God's strength, you will have strength for life. You know, like I have been, like I said before, around church my whole life and I guess met people who have been disappointed and given up and done that, and there are a lot of people like that. But more and more I have the conviction that if you would stay close to God and you would commit yourself to him and you would diligently seek him and you would let him empower you, then nothing can stop you. And you will live an entire lifetime serving God, honoring God, building his kingdom. And that's what I want to do with my life. And that's what God has for every single one of us. And I really want to encourage you not to be the person that gives up, not to be the person that says it's too hard, but be the person who turns to God and says, God, I can't do anything without you, but with you, nothing can stop me. And so I'm going to keep going. Amen. Come on, be connected to the Spirit and read the Word. Fill your life with God's power and do that. There's no other way to get strength. And our strength is nothing if it's not with God, yeah? You know, Isaiah 35, there's this great promise. And I'm just going to read it. I'm reading just chunks of Scripture because they really spoke to me. And so if you got your Bible, again, turn to Isaiah 35. It'll probably be up on the screen so you can read along as well, but it says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, which is like a rose, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. That was in that passage before. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go on about it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This promise, this passage is for us. As people who walk in the way, following Jesus, we are the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord who walk into Zion with singing everlasting joy on our heads. You getting that? You with me? It says the dead will be made alive. Yeah, sorrow will flee. This is the strength of God. And this is the strength that God wants to put in me and in you and in each of us. Amen? So good. Isaiah 40, like Isaiah has a lot of stuff that's good. Get into it. It says in verse 26, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah says, look at the stars and see the power of God. And then realize that that is the power that is at work for you and in your life and in your heart, yeah? And that this is the same God that provides strength to the weary, yeah? And the tired people. And he says, even though young people will get tired, even though the strong in the natural will get tired and fall, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and it will be the strength of the God that created the heavens and calls each and every star by name. And this is amazing stuff. And it's not just like good ideas. This is the word of God. Amen. And God's promise is that if we would give up on our own effort and our own strength, and we would just get there and say, no, I can't do it, but I know, God, that you can, that God will strengthen us. And I honestly believe that if you want to live a life of strength, if you want to live a life of serving God for a lifetime, then that's what you need. And that is the strength that it requires. And it does not require you to do things in your own effort, but it requires you to just submit to God. And like Daniel, just get like on our face and just go, God, I can't even breathe when I'm faced with the reality of you. But you touch me and you lift me up and you strengthen me and you enable me to do anything. So that was the first point. We need to get our strength from God and understand that it comes from nothing else. And I'm going to try and really quickly just going to summarize my last two because I did want people to get it. The second thing we need to do to live a life of strength is surround ourselves with strength. You know, strong people around you will make you stronger. And if you want to live in strength, then get strong people around you. It's really that simple. You know, Proverbs 27 is a really good one. 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, you know. don't miss out on church. Don't miss out on life group. Get around strong people and let them build you up and encourage you. And just be someone who builds other people up. You know, I've been playing futsal on Thursday night with a bunch of the guys, which is heaps of fun, but and I'm exhausted. I'd have no hope in an ultra marathon triathlon thingy. I can't even play 40 minutes of soccer. We're going to do it, Heath. We'll do the ultra marathon thing. No. But you know what I noticed is that when you're in a team of good players, and we've got some ring-ins playing with us that are really good players, and when you're on the field with the good players and you play together as a team, you're a better player. And I've definitely played better when the other guys, you know, are playing than by myself, because by myself I'm not particularly good at soccer. And even with them, I'm not particularly good, but I look better when they're playing. And so good players around you will make you play better. And, you know, Christianity is compared to a marathon and a race, which is true. But I guess my problem with that is that a marathon is an individual thing. And it's this picture of, you know, me versus everybody else trying to win a prize. But I honestly believe that Christianity is a team sport. And we are all, as a team, working together for one goal. And so we're not competing against each other. You know, let's just get that. I'm not going to keep going on that because I'm out of time. But, you know, don't miss out on being together with other people, but live life as a team, you know, build with strong people. If you let strong people in and around your life, then they will spur you on, they will build you. And that is in the Bible, just look it up for yourself. The last thing is you need to use your strength. You know, I was thinking about this, and just like physical strength, your strength needs to be used to be built. You can't go to the gym and look at the weights and then go and pick the heaviest thing and bench it. It just doesn't work, yeah? You need to is that for, you need to build it up. Yeah, Pat's going to argue with me from the back. That's all right. You need to start with the slightly smaller weights and lift them. And then lift the bigger one and then lift the bigger one. And your muscles will not be built by sitting there doing nothing. They will be built by practice. Yeah, and it's the same with the strength. You know, you will build strength in your life by using it. Before David beat Goliath, he fought the bear and he fought the lion. Yeah, you know, God, like Dad has been saying on Sunday mornings, built faith and strength into Joshua for 40 years before he took the promised land. You know, we need to practice being strong and start with everyday things so that when big things come, we have the strength to do it. Amen. And I'll just quickly finish this with this. In Judges 6, we hear the story of Gideon. And Gideon doesn't think that he's much. He thinks that he's least of the least and the weakest of the weak. But God says to him, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Now God has given you your strength and you need to use it. And as we use it, he builds it and he builds it. But it comes with practice, amen. So don't wait for more strength or make excuses, but go in the strength you have and know that God's with you and God is for you, amen. I'm going to finish. God, thank you so much for your word to us. God, I thank you that your word is alive and that it is powerful and that it can speak to us every day if we would let it. And God, I pray that you would just build us up. God, I thank you that we can do nothing for ourselves and nothing in our own effort, God. And God, right now we just want to really come before you humbly, God, and just admit to you and know that we can't do anything ourselves. And God, we are nothing without you. And God, but because you love us, you want to build us up and you want to give us strength. And that's an incredible thing. And God, I just pray that we would never lose sight of that we would never take that for granted, God, but that we would understand that the only place our strength comes from is you. And that we would live in that every day, God. Thank you, Father. God, thank you that you freely pour out your Spirit on us, God, that you just give so much to us, God, and constantly just want us to be blessed and filled. And God, that you have such a purpose for every single person here. God, I pray that none of us would miss out on that. None of us would let disappointment or discouragement or challenges stop us from living a life of strength, God, but that we would go in the strength that you give us. And God, every day that we would be filled by you and strengthened by you, God, and built by you, and that you would just move in an incredible way in our hearts and in our lives, God.
thank you for your plan and your purpose, God, and that nobody misses out on that. I want to pray tonight with you, and I think probably with myself, if you just really want to feel like you need the strength of God in your life in a fresh way, and you need to really get here now before God and understand that you can't do anything your own, but with Him, nothing is impossible. And maybe if you want to really just declare that to God, then I think just maybe stand up with me, and if that's you and you want to say that, maybe in just a fresh way, I don't know, or just a new thing tonight, then I don't know if that's for everyone or for some people, I don't know. But if you just want just a real fresh sense of God's strength and His Spirit on your life, then I really believe that God wants to give that to you tonight. And so if you want to say, yeah, God, I know that I can't do it on my own, but I know that with You, I can do everything that You've called me to. And because of Your strength and Your power, God, I can do all things. And if that's, if you want a fresh sense of that tonight, then I want to pray with you. So I really just think just standing with everyone else around is just a, I guess, like a statement to yourself as much as anything, that you would stand in faith. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for so many people who just have a heart for you, God, and want to seek you and honor you with their life, and just want to just give you their all and give you their best, God. And God, we thank you that we can't do anything by ourselves. God, I thank you that I don't have to be good enough and I can't be good enough. God, we just want to humbly come before you and, God, ask for your strength and your power, God, that you would touch us in a fresh way, God, and you would do something powerful right now. God, I pray for everybody standing, God, and everybody in this place, God, that you would just bring a fresh, just move of your Spirit and of your power in Jesus' name, God, that we would be able to meet with you, God, and because what Jesus has done for us, God, we can have confidence and we can have strength and we can have power. And God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for every single person here. God, you have strength for every single person here in Jesus' name, God. And God, that you are doing something right now. God, I just thank you for your Spirit and your power, and that it is on us, God, and that you want to do something incredible in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our church. And God, I thank you so much that you are just pouring out your Spirit right now, God. And we thank you for everything that you're doing. And God, I pray that we would go from here in the strength that you give us, God. And we would go into our lives, into our workplaces and our schools and our university and wherever we go, into our homes, God, with the strength that you give us, God. And because of your strength and your power, God, nothing is impossible. So, God, we give ourselves to you in a fresh way tonight, God. And thank you for your power and your grace, God, that you strengthen us and you enable us to do everything that you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Before we finish, if you don't have a relationship with God, that's like the first step. And so every week we give an opportunity just for you to start that and to acknowledge that Jesus died for you and that he rose again, and that because of that, you can have a relationship with God and you can have eternity in heaven. And so if you want to pray that prayer tonight and you want to start that, then it's going to come from the screen and we're all going to pray together. But you pray it from your heart, and God hears that and he honors that. So let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. If you prayed that tonight, maybe for the first time, then talk to the person that brought you, and they'll connect you in a life group and do, like, make sure that you can live that out. Amen.